want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 468, recorded live on September 21st, 2016. I'm your host, Ted Hard Hat with
Scott Burks
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. Also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo on our website to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Yeah, we got reminiscing on all sorts of stuff today. I love that when we kind of take that trail down, you know, memory lane and figure out stuff the way it was. You know, the good old days where everything was sparkles and shiny. It was awesome. Not like now where it's...
When it was better.
Yes. Yes, the good old days. Yep.
What did you do without smartphones?
Yeah, exactly. Let me get this straight. You sat at a table, ate a meal, and talked together?
It was better.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Yep.
It would help if I pushed the right button here, so that's always good. Mm-hmm. Yay, there it is. All right, so yeah, good stuff. We've got a good show for you tonight. Let's see. For me, not too much geocaching. It's one of those things. I actually asked wife Amy about this yesterday. I said, do you think it's going to be one of those things where we had the hottest 4 months in a row in record time, and somebody's going to flip the switch and it's going to go to winter? And darn it, if it wasn't, it was 75 degrees here and wet and
75 degrees. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, 75 degrees. I almost had to get my hoodie.
That's winter.
I had to get my hoodie almost. You know, I was the only one in shorts. Let's just put it that way.
Oh,
it's terrible. I know it, but I feel sorry for the trick-or-treaters already. We're going to have to actually buy a snow shovel. I mean, it's going to be bad. It's just going to be one of those things. But so, yeah, the weather was not pleasurable this week, but I am getting ready because on Saturday I'm going to be attending the NCGO Fall Fling 11 here in North Kakalaki. It's going to be at Umstead State Park, which they've had there for quite a few years now. It's really a nice setup. And if you want to check it out, it's GC6KA7Q. And we always have a good time. They always try so hard to make that mega status, and they're like, yeah, right there, and it's just there. But I mean, there's so much good stuff there. I don't have an hour to list it all off. But if you want to get out there to Umstead, that is going to be a great time, and we will be out there. So good stuff. Mr. Scott, it looks like you got a kid weekend, huh?
I had a kid weekend last weekend. Yes. As I said off the air, I'm fighting getting sick. I had a kid weekend, and today was my day off, and so I was going to do a little caching today.
Right.
But it decided to pour all day, so that didn't happen. But I got a lot of work done at home. I, you know, emptied out some, threw away some old stuff, and cleaned some stuff, and so updated my laptop to Sierra today. Yeah, so I did a lot of work today. Did a lot of work around the house today, so it was a good day. But I managed to get one. I did get one because I am the host of a geocaching.
You are.
So I got one.
I looked at one as I drove by. It's over there somewhere.
I went and got one.
Yep.
Yes.
So let's see. It is September 21st, and when are you up for your first CPAC?
So here, wait, it's September 21st. I still don't have my FTF.
Oh my gosh, I got my FTF last week.
It's creeping up.
Oh man, it's going to bite you.
Dude, just like nothing's coming out. It is like, it's just like dead quiet around here. There's like nothing coming out.
Yeah, because it's so, it's like what, in midwinter there? I mean, it's the ice is, the lakes are freezing.
Really? It's the late, dude. It's been 80 degrees all week. What are you talking about? Today was supposed to be 86 and sunny. It turned out it was 66 and rainy all day. That's not what the weatherman predicted. That's why I took today off.
Yeah, because like Tuesday, I think it's actually supposed to be like 92. But you know, what am I? I gotta show my grief and my despair while I got
it's
it.
It's supposed to be gorgeous all weekend. And me and Jesse are going caching all weekend because we have no kids. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
So it's what it is.
I mean, that's not bad.
So I'm trying to fight that Z-Pack. I don't want it. So
I'm gonna have to look it up for winter last year when you actually started, because you got to hit like four things in a row.
Dude, the problem is that whenever I get sick, it goes right to my ears. That's how I know I'm sick, is when my ears start hurting. Yeah. I'm like a dog. I do this, you know. Like, and so
that and he scoots on the rug, but that's a whole different thing.
And so I know, and so I have to get a Z-Pack for my ears.
Yeah,
it just goes straight to my ears every time,
man.
And so it's like I know when my ears start itching.
Yeah,
like, that's when I know I'm getting sick.
So, come so yeah, quickly.
Yeah, as well. So I'm trying to fight it. I've been taking, you know, vitamins every day and drinking OJ and the orange, the vitamin C one, the vitamin C explode or something.
It's
like
not
that.
Tang, but I know what you're talking about.
Shot of vitamin C that day. I've been doing that.
Gazillion milligrams.
Just fighting it. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully.
Cool. Hey Taz, how about you? You fighting your cold yet?
Not quite yet. I had a little bit of a flu bug a couple of weeks ago, but I've been doing pretty good. All those stuff's going around the office. So.
Oh, yeah. All the kids go to school, and they can bring all their lovely germs, and they bring them home with their parents, and they go to work, and oh, yeah.
Yeah. But this past weekend, it was up to 102 out here. I was like, and we did a CETO and filled a trailer full of trash.
Really?
So, yeah, the California Bureau of Land Management purchased a property in the next town over from me. And we we talked to them. It's like, hey, we'll clean this up for you if you'll provide us a trailer to put the trash in. And so they had a big trailer, and we filled that sucker a third full. I mean, this is one of those semi-trailer drop-off jobs, and we filled it a third full.
Wow. Where were you? Wow.
We were in Cameron Park, which is right next to El Dorado Hills, which is right next to Folsom, which is next to Sacramento. Kind of out in the boonies a little bit.
Does it, like, ever get CETO'd?
I was going to say, did they just build and build?
This is not a formal park. And there were a few different illegal living sites, so to speak,
on
property. That got CETO'd out.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to come take your home away.
CETO'd it out. Can you feel the love?
Yeah, but...
He's like, what? I went to go get food to come on. My home is gone.
But the park is clean.
Park is fantastic.
They took my chair. They took my tire. I mean, come on. Well, that's good, though.
There's a lot of trash around there, and I'd say we did a heck of a job cleaning that sucker up.
Yeah, especially in 102. Ugh.
Yeah, and then I decided to go attempt to avenge a DNF and failed to do so.
Wow.
And said, okay, I'm hot, I'm sticky, I'm going home and jumping in the pool.
And you smell like garbage, so that's always good. That's attractive. Yeah, all right, good stuff. Let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And I'm dying to ask, but let me just find out. From GeoGearheads last week, Scott Perks took on... Well, did it happen? Did you have
it happened. Oh, yeah.
And who won?
And thanks for listening, by the way.
I had to work this
thanks
week.
Thanks for your support.
No problem. I rooted for you. You were the best in your row. So good, bad.
What?
Who won?
He did by half a point.
Oh,
yeah. It's rigged.
I think it is.
He must have studied up.
Oh, he totally had notes and stuff. I totally went off the seat of my pants.
Yeah. See, I'm sure Chris probably was whispering in his ear as he was doing it.
Right. When you got, like, you know, the other the host of your other podcast has one of the
officials.
Whatever.
Okay.
What could happen? So,
speaking of this, have you used the live app on your Garmin Oregon 700?
No.
I don't have a 700.
Oh, I thought you said you bought the 700 and was playing.
No, Daryl bought it. Daryl bought 700.
Daryl. Yeah, that's right. He was talking about it on the other
show. Hates it. He hates it. Okay. He hates it.
Really?
Yeah, doesn't like it at all.
Huh.
Yeah, that's the one thing that kind of piqued my interest a little bit about it. And it's like, it's not worth. So I've got the 600 and I was thinking about upgrading and it's like, no.
Yeah, I got a 450. I love it. Does everything I need perfect.
Yeah, I don't like the touch screen of the 450. I've got a 450 as well, and it's been collecting dust. I need to put it on eBay.
There you go.
You probably still get some. You probably can still get a 100 for it, can't you?
Yeah.
That's my guess. I bet.
Yeah, put it down on a Montero or something.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Tomorrow, anyway. So I was just curious to see how Scott did in his seasonal finale of being on the GeoGearheads.
It was good. You should listen to it. It was a good debate.
I might have to listen to it. That's even good. And you guys should too. It's awesome.
It was a really good debate. And then we talked a lot about it. We took questions and stuff like that. I mean, I was a smartphone, but I'm pro GPS. I own one. I use one in the woods. You know. So I'm absolutely pro GPS, you know.
Well, that's a part of the fun of debates.
I had to go with the smartphone, you know.
Yeah, you got to go with the thing I've given to you.
I tried to throw things for a loop and tried to at the last second before we started flip it.
Uh-huh.
Because I know that Land Monkey did all this research, so I wanted to flip it so he'd be totally flying off the cuff just like I was, but he wouldn't have it. So I had to go with smartphone.
Well, there you go.
He studied too much.
That's it. All right, let's see. Tomorrow on GeoGearheads, 3D printed cache 4, Antaeus and CNISON. I'm not sure if that's Knudsen, but we'll return to talk more about 3D printing geocaches. And everybody has one but me, I'm just saying.
I don't know.
You don't have one? I thought you had one.
A 3D printer?
No, a 3D geocache.
Oh, no, everybody has one but you.
I know. See, that's what I'm saying. Somebody was going to make one for me, and it fell through, I think. It was going to be really cool with dragons.
Oh, you set yourself up for that.
I did. That's part of how things work when you work in a show. You know, I'm just saying. You have to set yourself up for the fall. But anyways, yes, I don't have one, and I'm saying so. So they're going to talk about 3D printing tomorrow on GeoGearheads. On the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, we're going to be going over geocaching pocket queries. Everybody sits there and has all these apps, and we actually had a question not too long ago saying, how do we associate the pocket queries with the apps that we have out here instead of the old days of just generating your pocket query and putting it into your GPSR. So we're going to talk about both.
I thought they're called lists now.
Yeah, they got their own sayings, lists, watches, whatever. I mean, you know what it is. You get your content.
By the way, in terms of this show,
yes.
I talked to Nick at Cashly, by the way.
Did you? How's he doing?
And he's doing good. He said he would absolutely love to come on our show.
Excellent.
And so once version 2 of Cashly comes out,
oh good,
we will have Nick on our show.
Can we scoop Daryl?
No, Daryl's already had him on, hasn't he? No. What's his name had him on? Gary had him on.
Yeah, but I think
Gary
for version 2.
Previewing too. But I mean, I'm a beta tester too, so I know everything that's coming out. So I could totally spoil it with everything. But once version 2 comes out, we'll have Nick on to talk about version 2 and
perfect.
Everything that actually comes out on it. So,
that's good. I look forward to
it. He'd absolutely love to. He'd be more than happy to come on our show.
That's so awesome.
I'll let you know once 2 comes out and we can have him on as soon as we can.
I appreciate it. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So a heads up, guys, that he's coming on. So.
Excellent. Let's see.
And I'll be asking him, when's he going to port that to Android?
Yeah, no kidding. Come on. We're waiting for this.
Say never. Never.
It's like when CGO ports to
yeah, exactly. iPhone.
Exactly.
When CGO ports to my iPhone, that's when you can have
it. It's in Russian. What do you want?
This is mine.
All right, good stuff. Let's move on to the GCPC mailbag. We've got from this week, we've got from J.D. Sutter, and it's to all of us. It says, hello, GCPC. I'm fairly new to geocaching, having only played a few times over the past 12 months. I've been listening to your podcast off and on throughout the past year and as well, and am slowly starting to learn all the ins and outs of the game. On a recent camping trip, a couple of friends and I searched for a total of about 2 hours over 2 days, for a D2 T35. And never found it, and I'm kidding about the rookie. Later, I realized that the cache description had some jargon which would have made it easier for us if we'd known what the terms meant. Yeah, that's like anything. I mean, let's face it. There's how many acronyms and terms of discussion? Yeah, that's easy to have happen when you first start.
There's local jargon and stuff that
absolutely.
Yeah, and I've been in areas and they're talking about blah 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 type of hide, and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know what that
blah when, blah.
It wasn't until I went down to Geo Woodstock in Florida I found out what a Florida hide is, and it's
a Florida hide. A Florida hide is in the palm trees.
Yeah, in the palm trees. But if you don't know, you don't know. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I've been to Florida.
Have you been there? That's good. I've heard you've been there in all sorts of southern states.
Yes.
So I decided to look for a beginner's geocaching book, which would explain things, and I discovered that there's a large selection of books on Amazon, most having conflicting reviews across the spectrum, so it's hard to tell how accurate they are. Can you guys recommend the best one for a newbie? We've got several on here for you to figure on. As a beginner, there are two that I have read over the past. One's The Complete Idiot's Guide to Geocaching. That's got probably 4.5 out of 5 stars for that one. The other one is The Joy of Geocaching, How to Find Health, Happiness, and Creative Energy Through a Worldwide Treasure Hunt. And The Joy of Geocaching is not like the other Joy books that I've read in the past. I'm just saying. I was disappointed when it came to that. So
everyone's wearing clothes.
I know. I don't understand. The one that you definitely, if people are like, okay, seriously, what kind of book is really, really good out there? The one, How to Puzzle Cache from Scully is awesome.
Yeah, I have that one. That one's actually on the shelf. Jesse has it. Yeah.
Yep, that is a fantastic. If you want to learn about things for puzzle caches, that is a highly recommended book.
But that's not jargon, per se.
That's not jargon, but there is a spot.
I did give you a link, if you see there. Right?
Yep,
do you see
it? Go for it.
I don't have it up. Go ahead.
All right, I'll bring it for up for you. So, Scott, we'll have it in the show notes. Scott brought up what he considers the best link for you to find about glossary and terminology.
Yeah, I don't know what this books you speak of. I don't know what that is. So, I'll give you a link.
It's got two covers and these pages of paper in between that you flip.
Maybe that's a southern thing.
It could be.
I'm from the Midwest.
Yeah, it's kind of like a large fan, only there's words in it. I don't understand.
I give you a link. I understand those.
Yes, the link. I think that the URL that is in there is www.geocaching.com/about/glossary.aspx. And again, we'll put it in our show notes for you. And it does. It has a ton of terminology. And if you put into Google simple things like geocaching glossary or geocaching terminology, they have a lot of the ones that are not in that list, the more local ones.
Some of the fun of that is figuring that stuff out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, for the longest time, I didn't know what tot was.
Yes.
You know,
What
the hell is tot?
Yeah, and that's something those are everywhere here.
Yes.
So a tool of the trade is what tot stands for. But here specifically, a tot is typically something that's going to be able to reach way up into the tree to get the cache out.
Right.
So,
well, down here it's covered in gravy and has tater in front of it. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. So
now a tater here is a rock.
See? But I never, you know, it's one of those things I just eventually learned. You know, you ask somebody if you don't know, someone will tell you. But you can figure it out, but why that's half the fun. To me, that was the fun, is figuring all that out. That's when you know you're not a newbie anymore, when you understand all these, when you've heard them and you know what they mean. And
go to some of your local events and ask people about them.
That
helps as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Snipe hunts are awesome. I'm just saying.
Snipe hunts. Wow. We went on a snipe hunt when I was in camp.
So when you go to events.
Taking the boys on the snipe hunt.
Yeah. Like I said, when you go to events, you might be the front of the line. I'm just saying.
Snipe hunts.
All right. Let's move on. We got the GCPC episode 468, Understanding Earth Caches. Yeah, we had to do a little switcheroo today. We were going to start the hosts, but I suppose they had some really good excuses. And so we're going to be starting next week with the hosts and go from there. And things like that happen. That's why we get an extra host, because something happens to one of us, and it's like, we need – you know, that's why we keep a nice grouping of a cache of people when things happen, because it does.
Use our terminology.
Yes. So anyways, we'll be doing that. Yes.
Cornucopia.
Cornucopia. A plethora of.
A plethora. Good one.
There you go. That's my only $10 word. Don't waste it. so we'll start that next week. But this week, we are going to go over understanding earth caches. And I think, and it's a shame, because earth caches are one of the ones that don't hit the top of the list. I mean, in fact, I don't know even in the world where earth caches fall per se as far as popularity goes. I mean, in the United States, traditionals are on the top of the list. If you go someplace in Europe, multis or puzzle caches might go. I'm not quite sure how earth caches work in the rest of the planet, but it is a fun one. And it's one of those things where, I'm sorry, folks, you're going to learn something. You're going to go to it, and some knowledge is going to be obtained as you go through it. I know. So that's probably why it's not so popular. It's like, wait a minute, you got me learning?
You're going to make me think?
Yeah. Jesse loves them.
I do, too. I
am indifferent. I'm like, meh, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's different aspects, and we can go over some of it. So why don't we go over what an earth cache is, and then we can go into some of those reasons why we're talking about it. The earth cache itself, an earth cache is a special geological location people can visit to learn about unique features of the earth. Earth cache pages include a set of educational notes along with coordinates. Visitors to earth caches can see how our planet has been shaped by geological processes, how we managed its resources, and how scientists gather evidence. Typically, to log an earth cache, you'll have to provide answers to questions. See, there's a test by observing the geological location. For more information, For more information about earth caches, visit www.earthcache.org, and we'll have that in the show notes as well. So, yes, there is a test.
Yes.
But and I think one of the things that throws people off with earth caches, it's I think they get intimidated before they even start going through the description, because you can go from this is some of the basic things that we're trying to tell you about what you're looking at when you're in this particular area to welcome to your semester of WCC as we go through an entire, you know, course on this particular geological process. And there are some out there that literally you could have as an entire course in a college. I mean, that.
Oh, yeah.
That
I mean, much. I've gone to earth caches. There was like 25 questions you had to answer for an earth cache. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But I come from Illinois where it's all fens. It's all fens. And that's it. That's all we have here in Illinois.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But I've seen some really cool ones. I mean, I checked before this show. I've been, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin, Alabama, Kentucky, Florida, Michigan, Canada, Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, Virginia, Ohio, New York. You know, I've found earth caches in all of these states.
Right.
You know, Kansas, another one. And so I've seen 77 different earth caches. I've seen a lot, very different kinds of different earth caches. I've seen some really cool ones. I've seen huge rocks, a lot of rocks.
A lot of rocks and geological.
The coolest one I saw was actually here in Illinois, and it got archived, believe it or not, because man effed it up.
Really?
And it was a reverse water. It was like a reverse water was going up.
Really?
Upstream. Yeah.
Like a question mark spot.
It was really cool. And water was going upstream. Yeah. And Men came and destroyed it.
So, wow.
Yeah, through their public works, destroyed it. Yeah,
oh, what a shame. I hate stuff like that.
Yeah, but it was really good. It was really cool. You know, but so I understand. I actually know an Earth Cache reviewer, and I know that they're getting a lot more stringent on. If you look at old ones compared to new ones,
right.
A lot, you can't just throw an earth. You can't be like, look, I found a cool rock and make an earth cache. It doesn't work that way anymore. It used to work that way. It doesn't work that way anymore. You know, so it's that may be why there's more questions involved. You find some newer ones and, you know, like I say, 25 questions. And you're like, oh, you know. But
yeah.
So I don't hate them. And Jesse loves them. So we hit them. I don't mind hitting them. My problem is that. Typing the email.
Exactly.
I'm just lazy.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to put the answers in?
In fact, wait, really quickly, though, and then I'd literally be done speaking for this whole topic because that's all I have to say. Is that, have you noticed the new geocaching app?
Yes.
When you log in Earth Cache. Has anybody ever logged an Earth Cache with the new geocaching app?
I have not, but I have done puzzle caches, and I think where you're going.
Okay, what you do is it gives you the questions, and you type it in, and then it sends it right to the guy.
Yeah.
So you are literally done.
Yeah.
You could do it all in the field.
Yeah, they do that with puzzle caches.
Yeah, you had to do it on the phone.
That's why you talk it.
But my point being is that you, for people like me who don't want to go home and type it all out, you can now do it right in the field.
You don't have to do your essay.
Right there, you can do it right there.
Yeah, your disposition on.
Nick really needs to get on that for cash. I don't think Cashley does that.
Yeah.
Although I've never logged in with Catherine Cashley. He actually might have that. I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Good stuff. Now, the thing that I am very surprised, and you fine viewers and listeners may know or not know, the actual Geological Society of America are the people that actually run and monitor all the Earth caches. It's not geocaching.com. Geocaching.com is a subsidiary kind of hook in to it. So in other words, geocaches, there's an Earth cache, geocache, and then there's also Earth caches. And they all go through the Geological Society of America. What I think is so cool about it is when it was established all the way back in 1888. So we're talking something that's been around here for over 100 years that does that. It says, established in 1888, GSA provides access to elements that are essential to the professional growth of Earth sciences at all levels of experience and for all sectors, academic, government, business, and industry. GSA's growing membership unites thousands of Earth scientists from every corner of the globe in a common purpose to study in the mysteries of our planet and share scientific findings. Really, really cool stuff. And we'll have a lot of the notes on here that are actually off of their website. And again, we'll have links for this. Some of the stuff that I did not know was Matt Dawson. Here's your trivia question, folks, pardon for the next GeoSnippets quiz. Matt Dawson is the key person in the Earth Cache program. His caching name is GeoAwareHQ, and he was a wonderfully dedicated team of GeoAware volunteers around the globe who work with cache developers to continue to grow the list of published Earth Cache sites. So that's where that first started. The very first Earth Cache was Earth Cache 1. It was GCHFT, as in Tom 2, which was placed by GeoAware on the 10th of January, 2004.
Still out there?
I don't know. I wanted to check that out. I mean, one of the guys can check while we're looking through here.
Chat room, check it out.
Check it out.
GC what?
It was GCHFT2.
Yep, still active.
Still active.
Oh, there you go, Taz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where is it, Taz?
It's in, New South Wales?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Oh, New South Wales, Austria. Australia, sorry.
FireSafe, do you have that one?
I was going to say, FireSafe's in the chat room.
I saw FireSafe's in the chat
room. So, let's see. We're the first, within the first year, more than 500 Earth caches were published. And then there are now over 20,500 sites in more than 167 countries as of March 1st, 2016.
I can't believe that's it.
Yeah, because there's a whole lot of Earth out there. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's really not a lot. I'm surprised there's not more.
Well, one of the things that, from my understanding, is that they don't like a lot of repeats of the same information in the same area. So say you get an oxbow lake type of one, they don't want another oxbow lake, you know, 2 miles down the river or something like that. So
there's a, just a crap ton of fens out here, man.
Well, Michigan, come on, the Great Lakes, give me a break. So yeah, there's just, oh, look, you know, another glacier.
They got to provide some new unique information when they're going there. Something has to be a little bit more unique about it, not just, hey, you want to learn about igneous rocks,
yes,
that type of thing.
Yeah, it's amazing though. Just with the 20,500 sites, since the program started, more than 6.3 million people have logged that they have visited Earth Cache sites, and the number is growing exponentially, according to them. So that's awesome. I mean, that's some serious history to go through that. And it takes the individual that goes, you know what, I can sit there and find, you know, I know this really cool spot that nobody knows about, get permission to have so people can visit it, and then write up a little essay about it. I mean, yes, it takes work. Yes, you have to go through the review process. And yes, there's probably a lot of tweaking involved. But the end result is you've got this amazing spot that you're going to have other people come and learn about.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Sure.
I don't
hate Earth Caches. I just don't like the extra work.
Yeah. And a lot of people apparently are in the same boat.
Take me.
Yes.
You know, yeah, I've seen some really cool
places that I've gone to. Sure. You know, they Earth Caches have taken me there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when we, you know, when we're out of state. Jesse loves to go to them when they're out of state because you know you're going to see something really cool.
Yeah.
When you're out of state. So she loves, that's why, and usually see a lot of the states I've gone to, we found an Earth Cache.
Yeah.
You know, because she's like, we got to go find this one.
Well, if you're in a national forest, chances are there's an Earth Cache somewhere because you can't put the physical one there.
Right, yeah.
There's a bunch I'm dying to go to, and we'll hit those in a little bit. The one that I thought was really cool is 7 miles from my house. Didn't even realize it was there until one of the geocaching HQ folks said, hey, you need to go find an Earth Cache. So I was like, all right, because there are not a lot here. There's probably within 50 miles or more, there's probably 5 Earth Caches. And here I found one that opened up that on the April 24th of 2014, 7 miles from my house. And what was so cool about it, it's the Clemens ESF Forest Geology Trail. And what they do, they have talking trees and talking rocks. It is
like Lord of the Rings. What are you talking about?
It is so cool. You go along the trails, and when you get to an area, and there's probably 50 stops in this trail, when you get to this particular spot, they've got a stand where right on the trail that you're standing on, and it's got a voice box that sits there and plays a recording.
Oh, wow.
And tells all about all the stuff that's going on. So you can go on the talking tree trail, or you can go on the talking rock trail. And depending on when you want to go for, it gives all this stuff. I had a great time. It was probably maybe a 3 mile trail total for it, but it was so cool because my folks were rock hounds, so I know a lot about geology. Mm-hmm. And to be able to go through and have people explain stuff like that. And there's a couple of things I didn't see before, which was neat. So, yeah, awesome stuff. And it took an Earth Cache for me to actually realize where this place was. It was really nice.
Three went live less than 5 miles from my house.
Yeah.
And we just don't get them because we're waiting for Earth Cache Day.
Yes. October 9th, by the way.
I'm going to go when I can get an icon for it or a thing for it.
Yeah, October 9th, by the way, folks. Just keep that in mind. But all the ones, like I said, the farthest one that I picked up out of the 5 that are in the area is 90 miles away.
Yeah.
So it's like cool stuff, but the things that you see, when we did Earth Cache Day a year or two back, I took Amy and we found the one of the largest, I think it was, I know it's in North Carolina, but I think it's in the United States, one of the largest open face granite slabs that's in, where you can just sit there and walk, and they've got streams running through it, you got waterfalls, all this different thing. And when you drive to it, there is a trail marker There isn't even a spot really to pull off to. It's not like it has actual parking. You kind of pull off to the side of the road and then go down the trail and then walk to this thing. But it's gorgeous. It's a whole different world that goes on for something like that. Who's going to know this? You're going to drive by the sign and not even see it. And goes. And here's this magical place that you'll walk around and go. And when we actually went there, we met another set of geocachers doing the same thing. So nice. It's awesome. I love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great stuff. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, Scott, you said you were, you know, a lot of the ones that you have, there's a couple of good talking points. What's the ones that you want to go see? Are there any ones that are on the top of your bucket list that that you want to go? Yeah.
No.
Really?
It's not me.
Wow.
No. Nothing at all. That's wherever Jesse drags me, that's where I go.
So if you go to Hawaii, it's like, oh, look, it's another volcano. Meh.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll ensure. Where do I mean, in terms of earth caches, yeah. I don't know. I don't really have any. Like, again, that's Jesse's. That's not me. If she takes me to the cool stuff. I just.
Yellowstone National Park is loaded with them.
Oh yeah, I know that's loaded. Yeah, and we'll get there eventually.
Yeah,
you know. So I know I'll be hitting a lot of those. But
she was throwing.
Whenever, Jesse plans the vacations. I don't. So sorry.
No, a lot of the stuff I really would like to go see the Hawaiian volcanoes. Matter of fact, one of the ones that I really truly regret. There was a geocacher who was a missionary in Ecuador. And he had been there for many years. He's actually back here in North Carolina now. But he was there for about 10 years or so. And there was a time eight years ago or so where he literally said, because I had brought up volcanoes and how I always wanted to go see one. And he said, do you want to go find some geocaches on a volcano? And I said, yeah. He said, active or inactive? And I'm like, oh, hey, let's go. And he said, yeah, I'll take you on trails. We'll go on active volcanoes where you can find geocaches on and then inactive volcanoes. It's like, oh, come on. This is so cool to be able to do something like that. There's just so many different parts of the world, again, being a rock hound, that there's caves. Amy just said, I want to go do this. There's an emerald cave in North Carolina. It's got to have an earth cache. If not, I'm going to look into it, where you can actually go into these caves and then kind of the old gold panning kind of thing that you do with the streams. You do this for emeralds and actually go into there. And I'm sure it's your standard tourist, you know, here's your bucket of dirt and see what you find kind of thing. But the caves would be awesome to see what they did for that. To find them and things like that just fascinates the heck out of me. Good stuff. Let's see, any other tasks you got? Any of that you're in California, I'm sure there might be some geological things going on there.
Oh yeah, I pulled up GSAC when we were talking about this. There's 47 within a 50 mile radius of me, so yeah, there's one or two earth caches around. I've done a few of them here. They're pretty cool. But yeah, I've done earth caches everywhere from down in Brazil to up in Canada, over in Germany. I love earth caches. I think one of my favorite ones was Tracy Ford, which is a fjord that's went to. It's up in Alaska. Went to on a cruise ship, and I woke up in the morning and, you know, it's like, okay, let's look at my GPS and see if there's anything here. We're turning around in the middle of a fjord. It's like, holy cow, there's an earth cache 300 feet away from me. Let me get the information from that.
Stop the boat!
Yeah. It was a slow turn in the back end of the fjord, but it was glacier-based earth cache, and it was pretty cool. I got all the information, had some coffee out on the deck, and
there you go.
Yeah
it's amazing. I think the only other one that's probably worth mentioning, I'm seeing here it's got 29 favorite points too, is called Whale Rocks. And it's one in, matter of fact, I think it's actually in Umstead where we're going to the Fall Fling. You walk through there and in a stream are these just pure pale white rocks, and if you look at them and squint, you can actually see the whale. And it's, you know, through the weathering and what have you that goes into it. And it was a simple question, like, which direction is the stream going? And, you know, things like that. It was pretty pretty basic stuff. So you can find ones. I don't know. Is there a 5.5 Earth cache? Because most of them, a lot of them are pretty. The most ones that I have are pretty simple ones to get to. But I imagine there's got to be some spots for people to say, hey, if you want to see a geological thing, you know, bring your rappelling gear and let's go over here. So I'm sure there are. But most of the ones, if you're actually interested in going and trying an Earth cache, by all means do. A lot of them are really simple. You know, it's usually off of very nicely made trails. You know, there usually isn't a lot of bushwhacking to them because they are points of interest for other people to come and find. So check them out and give it a try, because it's you really, really don't have to write an essay for most of them. A lot of them, like the one that I did with the talking trees and the talking rocks, you know, they would sit there and say, okay, what geological aspect did this particular type of stone have, and what's it used for? And you would look at the signs right there and say, here's the geological aspects, and this is what it's used for. So you go and you write it down, and away you go.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's. I mean, I'm looking right now on my worst DT is a 2.5.
Okay.
That was the worst DT I've had.
Yeah.
An Earth cache.
I've got a 3.5.5.
Oh really? Wow. What was that about?
That was a kayak based Earth cache on Armand Bayou watershed.
There you go. Now some of that I can see a 5 with, where you're going to have to use a boat to get to it.
Yep, that'll do it. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
That is awesome. So they are out there, but I'll tell you what, every one of the Earth caches I have here, the lowest that I have out of the 5 that that I've done nearby, the lowest has 20 favorite points, and the highest is 85. So.
Favorite point.
That's people
the
like them.
Points I have. Probably the ones that like is my assumption. I did find a couple by Table Rock in Canada.
Yeah.
744.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So, I think I need to look at that. What is that?
I haven't refreshed it in a while, but the Old Faithful.
That might have one or
532.
Two. Wow.
Oh, that's why. It's Niagara Falls. That's why. That makes sense.
Yeah, natural Table wonder.
Is Niagara Falls.
If you can make it past the tourists, that's probably why it's a 3. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes a little more sense. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, yeah, they're easy enough to look and find. And, again, there's nothing to sign. You just write down the information and send it back in. Awesome stuff.
Problem is getting around to doing that. That's the problem.
Yes. Because they do take trips. Like I said, most of mine are, you know, there's a handful that are there. Other than that, it's a day trip.
Yeah.
And away you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Good
so
stuff.
You guys have yours planned out?
Oh, yeah, for the 9th?
I got three 5 miles away from me.
I wish I had. Let's see. I'm going to actually check it out.
Doing this hike down an old abandoned railroad track that's not too far away, but it's about a 3 mile hike round trip, and it's got some other caches along the way. So
your knee's gonna handle that.
That is a very good point.
Thank you. I care. I know.
He does care.
I care.
It's going to be on tracks. I've been doing about 5+ miles every weekend. Anyways, I've been putting a knee brace on, and so.
All right.
Must be tough to get old, Jack.
It is.
Let me tell you. All right, let me see real quick just to see how many's on here. I haven't found.
So what am I, about a month older than you? Or
I was going to say. It's like.
Something like that, yeah. My body's not giving out like yours.
True.
Well, at least things aren't falling off yet. I'm just saying.
No, I have 2 bad knees. You win. You only have 1.
Okay. There are a couple near me that that I didn't know. Raven Rock. I'm going to have to try that. This he?
Checking to see.
I'm just checking
it out
here
for October. Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing. I'm checking for October.
We can see the weekend.
No, CETO's not until what, April?
No, there's a CETO thing this weekend.
They had a CETO thing. This week. between last weekend and this weekend.
Ah.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
All week.
So make sure you get to Aceto this week.
Get Aceto. Well, I'm doing a fall fling, so that's Saturday, so that's going to take me away from that. No, there's this place that Amy has been talking about for probably a year and a half. She says, we really need to go to Raven Rock and check it out because there's waterfalls and all sorts of stuff. And they're like, who wants that? They actually have a thing called Raven Rock Fall Zone that's here. Not bad. I'm going to have to check it out. 21 favor points. It is a 1.53.
Also, I saw on my in my iTunes for an update for my geocaching.com app that they added trail maps to the maps.
Did they?
They did. I have not tried it, obviously. I just saw it and downloaded it. But good for them to try and make it better.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, trail maps. That's interesting.
Excellent. Yeah, they've got a lot of stuff. And I like that they admitted, we know that there's a bunch of stuff you want, and we're trying to get it in. And
we know Nick's doing it, and we're not.
Yes. And if not, we've hooked up with PC Project, PC, GC, and go from there. So, yeah, there might be a couple influences that go through and say, hey, let's try that. It would be good. All right, so good stuff. So make sure you go out and check out geocaching.com. Find the you may be surprised about the things that you see that may be there that you didn't know on finding an Earth cache, like I did with the 10 other ones that I didn't realize were there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, good stuff. Check them out and get out before on October 9th and get your Earth cache and try it out. They are not as crazy like people talk. It's like, oh, I don't do Earth caches because, you know, go out there, have fun, experience it. Because if you like finding new stuff, if you like learning and finding stuff and get that wow factor of, holy cow, I didn't know that worked that way, then there you go. Earth caches. All right. Good stuff. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Next week, hopefully we will start off with we had to do a little shuffling here, and we will start off with the GCPC show host, and we will go with Adam Demscher, a.k.a. my favorite geocaching alias, Carrot Killer, and we'll have Adam on next week. And we will start our process of finding our host number 4. All right. Well, folks, have a good one. Have a safe one. And we will see you fine folks next week on the Geocaching Podcast. Have a good one. Let's move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast. Right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is Head Hard Hat Production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.